We pretty well determined that nobody actually wants to worry more. But the fact is, most of us do anyway. In our lesson this morning, which was entitled, When Worry Becomes Sin, we covered three very important points. First of all, we asked the question, why or what is worry? And we found a definition in the dictionary as worry being to torment oneself or with or to suffer from disturbing thoughts. And anxiety is defined as distress or uneasiness of mind that is caused by fear of danger or misfortune. We also separated sinful worry from legitimate concern. Sinful worry immobilizes us. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't let us get anything done. It rather, we might say, freezes us up and prevents us from accomplishing the things that need to be accomplished. On the other hand, there is the matter of legitimate concern. Concern moves us or motivates us to act with prayer and courage. When we're concerned for something and that concern is legitimate, then we take the tools that God has given us and do the very best that we can, tools like courage and prayer and the instruction of His Word. And so concern motivates us to conquer the problems and the difficulties in life as best we can by following the instruction we find in God's will. Then we asked the question this morning, why do we worry? And we noted several reasons why we worry. None of them were really good reasons at all if we really are willing to take God at His word. Things like the fact that life is hard, that the future is unpredictable, that we're not in control. Those are reasons that some people give for worrying about things. And yet, I like to go all the way back to what we said at the beginning. Worry doesn't accomplish anything. No matter what the reason, no matter how good we think the reason is to be worried about something, after we've worried ourselves sick, we're just sick of worrying. We haven't accomplished a solution to the problem. And then the third thing that we noted at the conclusion of our study this morning, the rewards of worry. And we looked at the fact that worry rewards us with more worry. The more you worry, the more you feel like you gotta worry. The more you worry, you don't find any solutions. And so if you use that method to attack the problem the first time, then that's all you know. And so you do that again. Secondly, we said that worry rewards us with more work. The more you worry, the less you accomplish, but the harder you think you have to try. And then, of course, in the third place, worry rewards us with less faith. Worry actually diminishes our faith and trust in God. And so the bottom line of our study this morning seems to be that faith plays a big part in our overcoming worry and living a life free of unreasonable worry and anxiety. Now that seems to be exactly the point that Jesus is making in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And if you got your Bibles, I know you all have, turn there with me and we're going to be looking at several passages in that text. Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. And I want us to notice some Bible solutions to sinful worry. First of all, let's recognize the fact that worry accomplishes nothing. Worry accomplishes nothing. Now, I've said that several times today. The fact is, Jesus said it several times in that text that we're about to look at. Particularly, let's pay attention to verse 27. There Jesus says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" The Lord is making a valid point that is very simple, very easy to understand, and the point is this: worry accomplishes nothing. It won't do any good to worry about the fact that I'm going to die one day, because worrying about it is never going to add a single hour or even a minute to my lifespan. In fact, not only does worry not help, many times worry has the opposite effect. Are you worried about losing your hair? Well, you just keep worrying about that, and medical science has shown that you will probably lose your hair even faster as a result of the physical anxiety that you're going through. Worried about getting sick? Worry suppresses the body's natural immune system and makes it more likely that you'll get sick. It definitely won't make you any healthier to worry about your health. Worried about losing your job? It definitely is a real possibility that you can worry about losing your job and agonize over that possibility to the extent that it will bring on behavior in your performance that actually lowers your job efficiency and may make you a more likely candidate to be replaced by someone else. Worried about gaining weight? You'll probably eat more because of the effect that worry has on your physical body. Remember that passage we read this morning from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25? That'd be a good one to jot down in the margin of your Bible there in Matthew chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. The rewards of worry are measured in terms of lost productivity, lost opportunities, lost health, lost jobs, and you guessed it, lost souls. The time and effort that is expended in worry cannot be recalled. It cannot be pulled back in and recycled and used for more productive purposes. Several of you were very open and frank with me this morning after services, saying that you're so guilty. I had several people say, "Oh, I'm guilty of worrying. I worry too much. I needed to hear what you said this morning." Then you know firsthand how much time has been wasted in worrying. And you understand that those worries didn't accomplish a single thing. So that's number one: recognize that worry doesn't accomplish anything for us. Number two, understand that God cares for you. You say, "Oh, come on, preacher, give me something with a little more meat in it than that. I've been knowing that all my life." Okay. Then you don't have any problem with worry. If you've got this settled in your heart that God cares for you and that God is going to take care of you, then you're not one who needs to be listening to a sermon on worry. Well, the fact is, even though we know that God cares for us, there are times in our lives when we find it difficult to put things in God's hands, aren't there? There are some times and there are some situations. And even though we would never say something like this, deep down inside, the true reflection of our heart's intention is, maybe God needs my help. Maybe I better look and make sure He handles this right. I'm a little bit worried that God may not bring about the result that I want. You know, I think we're beginning to see the problem now. Don't we so often have a preconceived idea of what it is we want God to do as a solution to this problem or that difficulty that we're facing? You know, that's human nature. As long as we live here on this earth and deal with the realities of mortality, we're from time to time going to have an idea of how we really think God should solve this problem. That's one of the things that causes us difficulty. There have been many times in my life and in your life as well when God solved problems, and I was, and you were, a little bit surprised at how God solved that problem. Perhaps it didn't start out even looking like a solution. But then, looking back on it from down the road, you realize, you know, that was best. And then all of a sudden we stumble upon that big thing laying in our path that says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to His purpose. And we begin to put two and two together and we say, you know, that's what it says. That's what happened. That's the way it works. But we need to come to a realization. It needs to be real in our hearts that we really do trust God to take care of us in whatever way He sees best. Now, it may very well be that God takes care of me and handles problems in my life in a certain way that I really wouldn't choose off the list if I were given a preview of how it could be done. The fact is, one of the ways that God may take care of me is kind of like I take care of a bug crawling around on the floor. But you know, if God sees best to bring my life to a conclusion at any given time, then I've got to be willing to trust Him that that's best for me. Understand the fact that we're not generally talking about life and death situations when we talk about the need to get a grip on worry. We're talking more about those little things, those everyday things that keep popping up every day. God cares for us, and He'll take care of us. Notice what Jesus says there in Matthew 6, verse 26, first of all. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If you skip down now to verse 28, Jesus said, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That kind of stings a little bit, doesn't it? Oh, you of little faith. Remember what we said a few minutes ago? It seems like the bottom line here is that faith is going to be something that's really crucial in this matter of handling sinful worry. God is with us. God is for us. God did not create this world and then just sit back and watch the show. We're not actors. We're not toys. He is intimately concerned with His creation. He is actively involved in providing for all our needs. But understand this. Worry, my worry, your worry, all sinful worry calls God a liar. I don't even like to say that, much less think it. But isn't it true? Doesn't all sinful worry call God a liar? Worry says, God, I know you can keep the sun in its place up there, and I know you can sustain all life on the earth, and I know you can answer all the prayers of all the righteous, even at one time. I know you've always been in control in the past, but you know, I don't believe you're taking care of this problem that I'm going through right now. That's what it says. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make straight your paths. Listen, folks, I'm very aware of the fact that for each and every single one of us, it's pretty easy to say, I trust God to take care of me. But when it comes right down to the fact, right down where the rubber meets the road, as we say, one of the challenges that we all face is the challenge of taking God at His word and praying, Father, not my will, but Thine be done. Understand that God cares for you. Number three, put first things first. You knew that one was inevitable, didn't you? Put first things first. Look down to verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus perfectly illustrates one of our biggest problems today with His words about these things that the Gentiles seek. Because you see, worry is often a product of misdirected focus. It's really easy for our priorities to get all out of line. We worry about what we eat, but sometimes it seems that we don't care enough about what we're going to do with the life that food makes possible. We worry about what we wear, but we don't seem to be concerned sometimes, especially concerned enough about what we're doing with these bodies that we put the clothes on. We concern ourselves with how to preserve our lives as long as possible, but sometimes it seems like we give very little thought to what comes after this life is over. Now, nobody claims that having enough food to eat, enough clothing to be covered, those are not trivial matters. Those are not things that shouldn't be even given any concern whatsoever. In fact, for the people that Jesus was talking to directly there in Matthew chapter 6, those were life and death issues. But the fact is, those were not and still are not the most important things in the world. The things we should be most concerned about are the things that matter the most. Putting first things first gives us the right perspective and strength to face life without worry. First things at the top of the list. First things first. The kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. First, the kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom of the world, but we are citizens of the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our main focus, our main goals in life should be right smack dab in the middle of letting God reign our lives. When our greatest concerns are about God's stuff, all the other stuff is kept in the right perspective. We won't have to worry about that other stuff. And God will provide what we need. Now there's one final point before we're finished. And that's the fact that we need to transfer trust. Transfer trust from me to God. For this one, I'd like for us to turn over to Philippians chapter 4. That's the passage we use this morning as our lesson text. Philippians chapter 4, particularly now verses 6 and 7. And I believe this is exactly what Paul is saying. Transfer your trust from yourself to God. Listen to what he says. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rather than trusting in my own power and wisdom and strength, I need to put my trust in God for everything. And as a result of that, if I can accomplish that, God will give me a peace, P-E-A-C-E, a peace which defies logical human explanation. It's not a trick of the mind. It's a spiritual reality. We exercise this trust in God by actively committing our concerns to God in prayer. We're not in control, but we can place our trust in someone who is. We don't know the future, but we can put our trust in someone who does and who is far more capable of bringing everything about in the way that it needs to be than we would be if we could somehow control it ourselves. Worry represents a failure to trust God. A failure to trust God as our Heavenly Father. Have you ever seen a child who had been well cared for by loving, good, responsible parents, But a child who was still worried every day about where his or her food or clothing or shelter was going to come from. No! How can we not understand that we should trust God in the same way? God has taken such good care of us. I want to tell you a little story. I've borrowed it from the comedian Carl Hurley. He tells a story about trying to throw a garbage can away. And I think there are some really close parallels here between this and trying to get rid of worry. Don't think for a minute that I don't believe that worry is hard to get rid of. Hurley said, it's the one thing you can't get the garbage man to pick up. He said, I set an old rusty garbage can out on the street one morning thinking that the garbage man would understand that it needed to be thrown away. He said, when I came back home that afternoon, the can was stacked up right there with the rest of my empty trash cans. Well, the next week, he says, I put it out again, and this time I turned it upside down so they could clearly see that the bottom had several holes in it and it needed to be thrown away. Yep, when I got back home that afternoon, it was stacked up with the rest of my empty cans. Again. The next week, he says, I took a sledgehammer and I beat the can in pretty bad and I left it out front there with the rest of the garbage. And when I came home, not only was it stacked up next to the other empty trash cans, but the garbage man had actually tried to straighten it back out for me. He says, so finally I did the only thing I could do. I went to the hardware store and I bought a heavy-duty chain and a padlock, and I chained it to a large tree in my front yard. Sure enough, that night somebody stole it. I tell you that because I don't want the tone of our study today to be misunderstood, for you to get the impression that I'm saying getting rid of worry is no big deal. You just got to do it. Well, it's a little harder than that. But it can be done. It can be done with God's help. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.